there doesn't seem to be the danger anymore that there was with Howling Wolf and Muddy Waters and all those people. I mean, I wasn't a huge classic blues fan back in the day. I kind of discovered the blues more, probably through like Robert and Jimmy, who really had all the records. And I'd seen some, fun enough, on TV, like Sonny Cherry, Blind McGee, but Big Bill Brunsey toured in England, and that was kind of dangerous sounding, and that actually caught my ear. I know blues has turned into, it's like you have what they call jazz radio stations now, and you put them on and go, that's not jazz. Not how I remember it. There's no excitement. It's all like cozy, easy listening stuff. I think people think this is jazz. This is awful. And the modern blues players I've heard tend to be again kind of easy listening.
Ho, this is Brian. Call me the broken finger on the upper hand gardener. Coming to you from Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in frigid Husper, Ontario. We are back to, and I have the book, Ice Station Zeppelin. Let me just put the, I'll do this. I gotta get a cover properly done, right? Ice Station Zeppelin. Or how about this? The Zeppelin, Walking in the Zeppelin Wonderland. But yes, Ice Station Zeppelin is back. And for those who think I'm kidding about this stuff, I forward you to today's blogs on the USA Today website. US Today High School Sports Blog headline. Canadian football teams contested playoffs on fields absolutely covered in snow. Let me read some of this to you. You know the massive... in fact, they're playing as if the snow... I'm sorry. Well, it splits in Canada too. The snow splits in Canada too, just in time for the high school football playoffs north of the border. While we here in the United States have taken a rather sane approach of postponing high school events scheduled for days in which massive snow arrived, our Canadian counterparts are significantly more brave about playing on through the snow. In fact, they're playing as if the snow isn't even a big deal. The tweet you see above comes from the Central Western Ontario Secondary Schools Association semifinals completed in the Lords Crusaders and Hespeler Hawks on Tuesday night, in which Lords won 8-7 in overtime. See if you can spot any yard lines in that field. And there was a picture, and it says, high school football, Lords Crusaders off to Kwasa final with semifinal win on frigid night. Even more notable in the snow were the overall weather conditions for the semifinal. This is from the Guelph Mercury, which bravely covered the game that was bravely being played in completely absurd cold conditions. Emphasis in italics is their own. I repeat, this is USA Today High School Sports Blog. On a frigid, windy night that saw the wind chill below minus 10 for the Crusaders, kept the Hespeler Hawks out of their end zone after the first series of the game, on their way to winning 8-7 in overtime at the Jake, Hespeler's home field. Below minus 10, that's absurd. Skin freezing on contact, cold. Note, the Hespeler's home field. You are coming, I'm coming to you from Ramelon Towers in scenic Hespeler, Ontario. That's right, that was my son's football team that lost that game. I stood out in that minus 10 cold, watched for 2.5 hours. My fingers were numb, my nose was numb, my camera was slow. But, Americans, please note, it's minus 10 Celsius. It was not minus 10 Fahrenheit. Minus 10 Celsius, about 14 degrees Fahrenheit. So, yes, it was cold. No, it wasn't quite that cold. So, it really wasn't quite submarine through the ice cold last night. I got a good chunk of snow coming today. And, hey, we're an hour and a half from Buffalo. What did they get, 4 feet? If you're watching on the thing, I keep looking over my shoulder because my wife has promised me she's going to dance behind me and stuff. Now I'm all paranoid. She's going to start interrupting the podcast. But we're going to try and move on through that stuff. So anyway, we're coming to you from Ramble, Ontario, scenic Hesper, Ontario, Ice Station Zeppelin, walking in the Zeppelin Wonderland, da-da-da. You are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 77. We finally got there. Ramble on Radio is the only dedicated, only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, leave a review. Even if, look, buy the Jeff Beck Joss Stone single on iTunes while you're there, pop over to the podcast and leave a review. You don't have to download it from here. Just the one, next time you're in iTunes, leave a review. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. If I can get myself up to around 100 followers, and hey, after all these weeks and 6 months of being on Spreaker and mentioning it, I'm up to about 6, I think. So if we can get that up to 100, then I can kind of apply for iHeartRadio, and they will take it seriously. Check it out at Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook. Herg. My thing keeps shutting off here, man. I don't know what to do about this. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And if you contact me on Twitter, say hi or something, I'll try to say hi back, but I'm not fast about it. I'm not good about it. Same goes for Facebooks. You know, sometimes I respond. Sometimes people say something on Facebook or on Twitter, and I'll actually respond through the podcast. It's just sometimes I do. Google Plus, I never really check. I'm sorry, guys. So if you're on Google Plus and like Twitter or Facebook, contact me, say, hey, I'm on Google Plus. And if I know some people are there, I'll kind of try them. But I have a feeling it's the same people on Google Plus who are also on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, I'm also on, did I mention I was on YouTube? Ramble on Radio, YouTube. Although I tend to be about a week behind putting the YouTubes up. So that's what that is. Okay, note from last week. This comes from Facebook. Like I say, I sometimes respond on Facebook. This comes from Wyatt, pointed out on Facebook. I was trying to remember Steve Z up here in Canada. We insist, by the way, up here in Canada that it's Zed, not Z. It's one of those things. I actually tend to agree with you, and make this is one of those, you know, one of those things we probably support. Oh, it's Z, not Z. But of course, it's C. It's D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y N Z. That's us. I don't know. So it's Z top to it. That's actually a bad Canadian joke, that one, actually. But yeah. Steve Z is a guitar player for... I was trying to remember it, and I came up with the American Led Zeppelin Experience. Not that. Led Zeppelin USA is the actual answer to that question. So thanks, Wyatt, for getting that one right for me. Not a lot of off-the-wall stuff. Jimmy's been about... kind of quiet. There's been a few interviews. There was a cool one on CBS this morning or something. They threw a bunch of questions at him, and they kind of did a history of Led Zeppelin and threw these questions at him. It was kind of good. It was kind of neat. It was morning TV, primetime, or, you know, that morning when house moms watch. Retired people, I guess, probably. So they kind of, and they got their facts more or less right. Although they were rolling through it quick, so they, especially around the Yardbirds time, they got it a bit wrong. That they just condensed it, so it went from Eric Clapton leaving to Jimmy Page joining Jeff Beck and the Yardbirds without mentioning that Page turned down the Yardbirds. You know, like the Yardbirds asked Jimmy Page to join after Eric Clapton left, so Page joined with Jeff Beck, and they kind of don't mention that there's a year gap in there. And then he says, Page decided to form his own band. They make it sound like he left the Yardbirds. And the Yardbirds dissolved, and he kind of formed a band in their, you know, in their ashes. That would be Led Zeppelin, by the way. I mean, that's kind of a, I really got the, I don't think that was inaccurate so much as it was, they were aiming to condense it and, you know, knowing the story, you're going, well, that's kind of not right, but, you know, close enough. For morning TV, for, you know what I mean? It's, not hard journalism or something like that, really. Anyway, this is in this week, TBL, Tight But Loose Magazine, my pal Dave Lewis, who, and I'm not going to review it this week, I'm just pointing it out, I've not even done reading it. I think he said it's 50,000 words. I believe him. It's big, and it includes the Jimmy Page Tight But Loose interview. He's met, like, he met Page in 1980. He used to pop in at the Swanton offices. And, I'm distracted by her not even being there. Check that out, eh? He used to pop in at the Swanson offices, and he talked to Jimmy back in, like, 1980. And he went on tour. He followed them around a bit on their 1980 tour of Scandinavia. And, you know, he met Jimmy in the bar a few times, that sort of thing. So he's talked to him a number of times over the years. But he's never actually done a formal interview. This is the first one. So there's Dave Lewis's interview with Jimmy Page. Really worth picking up. And there's the big stuff on the Led Zeppelin reissues, including a bit on what exactly it means to remaster. So he gets into the technical details, which is nice to know. It's nice for people to know. And he talks about how they're changing. And I don't know what else beyond that, because that's as far as I've got. But he does include, he often includes a little picture, right? Picture. The last couple, I think, have had a picture with him. This is the best one. I love this picture. This one is going in frame. Question is, where am I going to put it? I guess the bedroom. That's all you got. That's it, honey. Going in the bedroom. Because that's a nice... I really like that picture. Cover photo by Ross Halfen, by the way. He points out in his diary that he donated that to Tight But Loose. Good on Ross Halfen for that. For recognizing that Dave Lewis doesn't make a big pile of money doing this. He's not... big corporation, and good on Frank Mason. So probably next week I'll review that fairly in detail. And that's it. Okay, bye. No, one more thing. So November 16, that was Sunday. November 16 was 5 years since Them Crooked Vultures released. Them Crooked Vultures. There you go. It's on, if you're watching on YouTube, album up. LP. I don't have the CD. I was shocked to discover I don't have the CD. This is the back. You guys know what it looks like, right? Double LP, etc., etc. Now, I've listened to this a couple of times in the last week. Once I realized this is funny. One time, probably about May, I sat down and I went through a bunch of dates, and I made all sorts of notes. 15 years, you know. If it falls in a 10 or a 5 year period, so something happened in one of the fours or one of the nines. So I would make note of it, and at that time, I was gonna. So I got the Diamond, Diamanda Galas, for instance. I made note of it at the time. The Black Crowes, I made note. Matter of fact, I was listening to the Black Crowes. It was right around Record Store Day because I picked up the album and I was listening to it and noticing that it was released in 94, and I thought, well, that's 20 years. That's something I can talk about. And I got into the dates, and then I started checking everything else that comes up. And there's been two or three things I missed that have come up in the last little while that were, I think it was Led Zeppelin 2 was one of them. I didn't have in my notes, and I didn't have in my notes this one either. So there you go, Them Crooked Vultures. So I thought I would talk about Them Crooked Vultures. Since it kind of came out before I was doing the podcast, I haven't really ever sat and reviewed it or anything like that. And it's interesting to look back anyway 5 years later and say, what is? I noticed that Classic Rock, Ultimate Classic Rock had said, well, it's been 10 years, 5 years. And they commented, we really love Robert Plant's new stuff, but Them Crooked Vultures might be the best post-Zeppelin work. And I strongly would agree with that, that it might be. Um, Now, you know I don't love Robert Plantson stuff. I have not liked his last five albums. So I wouldn't even go there in terms of comparison. But going back into his solo stuff, I think his first two are very good. As people who've watched or listened to this podcast all along know, I like his first two albums a lot. And there's a few of the other in the middle of the albums that are excellent. So an argument can be made. An argument can be made, Page and Plant. It is the best. The unleaded, I think. But beyond that, like, you know, Outrider. Now on Zen, no. Outrider, no. I'm sad to say, no. None of the John Paul Jones stuff, solo stuff, really holds up as a great album. So interesting stuff, good stuff, fun to listen to once in a while stuff, but great albums, I don't think. The Firm. I think The Firm's first album, some of The Firm stuff is really good, and some of it's really not so good. Nuts on Tony Franklin's bass. And I mentioned last week Rated X with Tony Franklin on bass, and he really tones back the fretless bass stuff. So that's good. That's good. That makes it simple. Or makes it better, I think. And I wish The Firm had a little less of that kind of wah, wah, wah bass sound. By the way, I do have this too. Record Store Day. Does not have a year on it. And not wearing my glasses. It's really cool. It's Them Crooked Vultures. Picture disc, and actually I still see this once in a while in the store. Like this, there still exists. That's a good picture disc, isn't it? And it's got Mind Eraser, No Chaser, Highway 1 Live from Sydney, which Highway 1 was not on the album. Mind Eraser, No Chaser from the album. Highway 1 is unreleased. And an interview, exclusive interview. I may slip that on in the next 24 hours. And give you some of it on, because I'm looking for something as an intro. I don't know what's on the intro, but I will try and get some interview time. So there you go. I might slip that on and actually give you some of the interview as an intro and outro. How's that sound? I was looking at it. I wish I had looked closer at that. I'd have done it before. So you go back. So I put it on the iPad, the old iPhones or iPad or iPod yesterday. And yesterday, 2 days ago. And just, you know, press the old play. And I'm struck by how good the first whack of it is. This is not a great album. It's not a great album. In large part because it's got too many songs that fall into the avant-garde. Things like Interludes with Ludes. Spitting in Daffodils. Even Caligula Love to a degree, not so nuts on. So it pulls back on the album a bit. If you're looking at, is this a great album? That would be the argument, not. Or is this the best post-Zeppelin album? That would be my argument, not. By the way, speaking of the post-Zeppelin album, that's what I was kind of talking about. If we're including Jason Bonham on the list, and I get that there's an argument that you wouldn't. But I would go, if you're going to include him, I would say the Black Country Communion's first album might be the best of the work of the post-Zeppelin guys. But yeah, I'm willing to concede that Jason Bonham doesn't count when you're talking about that. That's fine. But you put it on, and here's side one of this album. No One Loves Me and Neither Do I. Mind Eraser, No Chaser. New Fang and Dead End Friends. Now, No One Loves Me, Neither Do I. Mind Eraser, No Chaser, New Fang. All three great songs. Dead End Friends, not so bad. Side two, Elephants, Scumbag Blues, and Bandoliers. All three very good songs. Not the excellent. Those first three songs are probably the best three songs in the album. The next three songs are probably side two. And then it starts to get into Reptiles, Interludes with Ludes, Warsaw, Caligula Love, Gunman, Spinning, and those kind of start getting more avant-garde. It seems to get less rock and roll, more out there. I don't know if that's the right way of phrasing it, but it just kind of seems the, you know, I would take those first six songs. Maybe I would throw Caligula in there, make it two sides of four. You would have an excellent album. You would have a dynamite album. But maybe not so much with, and there's a few of the songs I'm not 100% sure what they are. In large part because he doesn't, there's no kind of choruses. For instance, there's no, you know, give me a whole lot of love, and you go, oh, that's a whole lot of love. you know what I mean? Whereas myself, I get tossed around between the Rover, Custard Pie. Is it those two? To hear them, I get, which one is it? Until, you know, Custard Pie starts to become obvious. No, Sick Again, the Rover and Sick Again is what it is. I can't tell the two apart. Because it doesn't say anything on the Rover and Sick Again. They're both kind of similar-ish songs with similar-ish themes. I have to really work on figuring out which one's which. Just, that's just me. You know, my kind of the way my mind works, that one throws me a bit. So this happens here too, because he doesn't write lyrics in verse-chorus style. He doesn't tend to have a chorus of where he sings so much as the words, you know, nobody loves me, neither do I, is one line that comes up fairly quickly. Three times in the song, I guess, but it rolls through it quickly. It doesn't repeat in the chorus twice or three times. It's just a line in the middle of the chorus. New Fang, I think, is... Now, I know New Fang, but I think he says it at the beginning of the lines once in a while. Two or three times, just. So, you forgive me, I'm not sure which one's Gunman and which one's Spitting Daffodils. I guess is what I'm saying, right? Or which one's Warsaw, which one's Reptiles. Interludes with Ludes, I know fairly well. Caligula, I know very well. Elephants, I'm not sure which one it is. And Dead End Friends, I'm actually not 100% sure which one it is. So if I'm missing something, so I'm saying, you know, I like Elephants, Scumbag Blues, Bandoliers as a side. And you're going, no, not Elephants. It's not Elephants you want, it's Reptiles. And, yeah, okay, that's conceivable. But having listened to that side today, it was quite good. How's that? So it's an album that has, you know, I think it's very heavy. It's very bass heavy, which is good if you're a John Paul Jones fan, of course. But it's kind of got that grinding guitar sound, grinding growling bass sound that's popular in kind of heavier rock nowadays. You know, the Foo Fighters, Nickelback, and those are the obvious bands. There's a lot of other bands, not so obvious, that do the same thing. Or not so obvious, but you know what I mean. Sorry, I have an itch. So I find it wears on my ears a bit over time. And that may be why I don't like the later songs. Maybe a case of I'm tiring of the album by the time. But I don't think so. I think it's starting to get way out there at times. And the same thing happens with the Black Country Communion, by the way. It's Glenn Hughes singing gets to start to really wear on you after a while. And here's the dog trying to get into the shot. But she doesn't realize she's too short. Too short. So, I wouldn't be good being a DJ. One of those little booths where people walk past and look in. I wouldn't be good. I would be so paranoid all the time. but anyway. So, listen, but so it does, it's kind of, the whole thing is too much for me, I guess is what I'm getting at. I would love it, and I do this a lot with modern records. I kind of mentally pare it down to, 40 minutes, eight songs, let's go 8-9 songs, 40 minutes. Now, how does that stand up in the 70s? I mean, so what you're doing is you're editing it, because nowadays guys record 16 songs and release them all. In the 70s, they recorded 16 songs, released 9 of them. So I kind of mentally pare it back. And it becomes, okay, so there's, let's knock out. So yeah, let's knock out, you know, Spinning in Daffodils, Gunman, Interludes with Ludes, Warsaw Reptiles. Move Caligula up to side two, like I said. And again, Ned, this is when you're sitting, I'm going, no, gunman, you want gunman? And I get that. But if you shave that extraneous stuff, put it on bonus disc two, come back in 40 years with bonus disc two or something, what you would have, I think, is an excellent album. You would have a really, and you would possibly have the best album, post Zeppelin, by any of the guys. That's a very, very real argument to be had. But in the modern idea of, no, it's got to be over an hour, it's got to be 70 minutes, it's, you know, it's got to fill a CD. It hurts this album. It hurts this album like it does most albums, by the way. You know, a couple of guys get together, never played together before, and they're pushing out a double album, basically. The best bands in the world back when did one double album. They did it halfway point in their career, it's, you know, sort of thing. 5-8 years in, they were touring bands. They had tons of songs. Even when Led Zeppelin did it, they pulled some songs from past sessions with Physical Graffiti. But, you know, them Crooked Vultures get together for a month and decide they've written enough songs to do a double album. And it's the modern thing. It's what's done. I just think it hurts a lot of albums. And this is a good example of it. This is a better album if it was shorter, a little tighter. Trying to figure out my time. Ooh, 45 minutes. I've been out in the cold, you know, watching football. Football in the snow in Canada. Don't believe me, by the way. Go to USA Today. Look, I know. I couldn't believe it when I was reading it today. This is USA Today talking about my son's football game. My son's stupid football game. But yeah, Canadian football teams contested playoffs on fields absolutely covered in snow. Google that. Cam Smith, USA Today High School Sports Blog. So yeah, if you went Cam Smith, USA Today High School Sports, you might come up with it. Canadian football teams, Cam Smith, something like that. Google away, you'll find it. And no, my son is not in that picture, by the way. His team was the blue team. He is an offensive player. I'm not going to tell you what happened last night, but we're not going to talk about that. We're just not. It has not come up in the house today. But it was not... we're blaming the cold. But anyway. So that is... Yes. So go back. 5 years later, go back, listen to them Crooked Vultures. Listen to the first 7 songs, especially. It is excellent. I really enjoyed revisiting this album. Really enjoyed revisiting this album. And was shocked at how good I thought. Like, I kind of thought, yeah, New Fang was good. I remember New Fang being good. I was shocked how much I really liked No One Loves Me, Neither Do I. And Bandoliers was another one I really liked. Mind Eraser, No Chaser, I also remember as being quite good. And, of course, it's on the picture disc. And I actually remember listening to it. I've got the picture disc and put it on. And kind of listened to it and went, yeah, actually, that's a good song. I didn't really, you know, in the middle of the album, sometimes stuff gets, and it kind of blows. I sit and listen to it just by itself. I'm like, that's actually a good song. But yeah, I was listening to that. I've listened to this all about 3 times in the last 2 days and really enjoyed it. It was just out shoveling the snow. Not what you thought I was going to say, is it? I was just out shoveling the friggin' snow. Clearing some space for the periscope of the sub, of the, what's this? Subway. The subway doesn't have a periscope. Submarine. The submarine periscope, clearing some ice for them. And had it on. And it was quite good. So go back. Yeah, go back. Let's do it. It's really quite good. Now, I want to talk just briefly about this again. Them Crooked Vultures picture disc. It's a beauty picture disc. Do you know you can still find them in the record stores? They didn't sell them all. They still have them. And I came home with it. And I mentioned that because I came home with it that day. And my wife says, you should have bought 2. That's really nice. You should have bought 2. Put one on the wall or something. And looking at it now, I, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But. So I go, I wonder what they're going for on eBay. This is the day. And what happens on Record Store Day if you've never gone is, yeah, they kind of do limited editions of these things. And people go and buy them. And then. That afternoon, they're on eBay for twice the price. And And if you wait 6 months, most of the stuff turns up somewhere. You go like the next week and find it in the store. So this, you know, they don't even get all the stuff to the store in the day. So a week later, your store's got all sorts of stuff. That happens a lot. I've had some stuff I have never been able to find. But mostly, yeah. So I go, I'm checking on eBay. And I search Them Crooked Vultures picture disc. And Them Crooked Vultures, other stuff starts coming up. So I got a clock. I have my clock here. My Them Crooked Vultures clock. If you're on YouTube, by the way, I'm showing this stuff. So and it was like $1.99 for this stupid clock. So I said, I'm buying a clock for my office. I should go back, because the battery's dead, so I should go get another one. Maybe a Led Zeppelin one. So I'm going to get one of those clocks for my office. And I'm going through it, and they have watches. Like $1.99 for a watch. So what the hell, $1.99? And free shipping, too. So I got a watch for $1.99. And then Crooked Vultures watch. So I get the watch, and it's too big. And I'm kind of trying to, you know, you got to poke. It's a metal band, right? You got to poke out some things, some links. You see this watch, how it is, right? So I take it to my local guy. Don't look him all. A nice guy. I've been to him a number of times for stuff. And so I take it to him, and he starts farting with it. He goes, come back in 10 minutes. I come back in 10 minutes. I've ruined this. I've ruined it. It's absolutely butchered. And he's got it. Like, it's just falling apart, right? He goes, I don't know what even happened. So I put this band on for it. I go, great, what do I have? Nothing. You know what I mean? Nothing. I go, no. I got to pay you for the friggin' watch band. No, I broke yours. And I'm thinking, I actually gave him $15. No, you're taking the money. I'm thinking, I bought a stupid watch for $1.99. The reason you broke the watch band is because it's a piece of crap watch band. It's probably all welded in. So he's all worried about it. So I just dropped I'm trying to think whether I dropped $10 or $20 on it. I said, no, thank you for your time. I appreciate what you did, but take this. I was expecting to pay that anyway. So I ended up paying $21 for the watch, you know. and it lasted about a year. But yeah, there was no taking the back off to replace the battery. Once it was dead, it was throw it out. But that's my story. I have my nice little watch, my Them Crooked Vultures watch. It was kind of cool for a little while. And somewhere I have my t-shirt. I should have had the t-shirt on today. Oh, yes. Because I did go see them. I seen them before the album came out. The closest I've ever been to John Paul Jones. I was maybe 50 feet from him at one point. They were playing in down in Toronto, down at the Lakeshore. I forget the name of the bar. And it changed his name every couple of years anyway. The Docks, I think it was called then. And it's basically just one of those big halls with a stage. Big open bars, you know. And I've seen Little Feet there previously. So that was kind of neat. We went and seen it. It was packed. But it was before the album came out. It was in October. It was early October. It was actually the Thursday before Thanksgiving weekend here in Canada. And for you Americans, Thanksgiving's on a Monday here. It's usually about October 11, 10, 11, something like that. So I'm going to say it was the 6th. Of October, give or take 3 days either way. But probably around the 5th, 6th of October of 5 years ago. 2009 specifically. So that was a good show. But you didn't know the song, so you kind of go, oh, and it's loud, right? They're crunching it out. And you go, oh, it's loud, and it's this and that. But it was a good show. It was interesting. And there were moments when you went, wow, this is really good. Like the album, right? There were moments when you went, wow, that's a good song. Had fun, went with some friends, we had a few drinks, and yeah, so I do have a t-shirt, I have a green t-shirt that I got then. Yeah, I should have worn it, I'll try to remember to wear it next week for you. How's that, do have my Jimmy mug though. I'm almost out of tea, so I'm almost out of podcast, because my throat's a bit raw tonight, well, with the cold coming in and all that, and the ice stuff and the football. And yelling at the refs, always, you know, they did a good job, but, you know, hey, what do you do? When your son's a receiver, they're always wrong, right? Every play is interference. Trust me, every play is interference. That's it for Ramblin' Radio, episode 77. Check ramblinradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. It helps with replacement. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramblin' Radio on Spreaker. And check it out at Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. Thank you for listening to Ramblin' Radio episode 77. Keep it coolin', babies.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.